This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and I'm delighted to be with you today. I certainly am. I love spending this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and to your faith. Always eager to hear from you. That's why we have our phone lines open for you, and that's why they're toll-free for you right here in North America. Let me give you the number to use. It is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. As I like to say, don't be shy. Give it a try. Don't delay. Call right away. We want to hear from you today. Yes, we do. I should put that to music. I kind of like it. Oh, well, all of that being said, pick up the phone and give us a call. 833-288-EWTN. Available for you as well out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. The chat feature there allows you to leave us a comment or a question, an insight, inspiration, or a word of encouragement. We'll get it retrieved up on the board. I will be able to address it. Now, if you're a first timer either way, do please let us know so that I can ring my bell for you. I'm going to ring this bell today, I think. Ringing my bell for you to welcome you for your premiere, your debut right here on the program. So we invite you to do all of that. Yes, we do. Looking forward to what it is that you have to share with us today. And I hope it's something that, you know, is going to be, what do I want to say? Invigorating, right? Faith lifting. Hope instilling, new life giving, all of those things, all of those adjectives and all of those superlatives and all of those expressions. Because, you know, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ is inexhaustible. It really is. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. And listen, I know, I have so many friends that are going through so much right now. And I have to tell you, in my own personal life, there's stuff going on. There always is, right? We are never going to be devoid of things that are happening, right, in our life personally, nor in the world at large or our culture, in our extended families. So, you know, we've got to just figure that that's going to happen. The reality is, though, the way in which we approach those things, the way in which we acknowledge them, the way in which we recognize them, and how it is that we perceive them through the eyes of God can make all of the difference in what our response is. And not just our response that is an auditory one that we might speak to a person, but and not maybe even just through our gestures or acts of kindness, but an interior response to God, a fiat, right? A gift of total self-donation to the situation and circumstance at the time that leads us to embrace it and realize that no matter how this looks, there is something in there for us, something great, something tremendous, something that, you know, is going to bless us in a way that we couldn't have been blessed if this situation or circumstance hadn't presented itself. It's just this God of ours is working for the good. And I was reading something today that I'm going to share with you in just a moment because it's really inspired me in a lot of ways this morning in my time of prayer. It's really caused me to tie together or maybe weave together or actually maybe apprehend some of what's been going on this past week in my time of prayer. And I think it's really wonderful stuff, really, really good stuff. You can call us. Yes, our lines are lighting up already. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Don't be shy. Give it a try. Don't delay. Call right away. So now I'm going to start. I think I'm looking because I've got a couple of texts open. I've got scripture here and I've got divine intimacy. I'm going to begin with divine intimacy. And I think that'll take us to scripture. And then it's going to take us to an insight that I had when I was watching a show that I produced with Colin Donovan some years ago. So, you know, and by the way, I do want to remind you that you can get out there to our website, womenofgrace.com. And all of our programming is archived there for you. Now, I say all of our programming, but the fact of the matter is not every program we've ever produced is archived there. I thought they were. We have them. We can get them uploaded. The bandwidth is tremendous as it is. So we probably are careful in the way in which we're orchestrating that. But a lot of the programs are up there for you, hundreds hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. So when I talk about, you know, a treasure trove of really, really insightful interviews, you know, that's what I'm talking about. But here, this is Divine Intimacy for today, and it's Meditation 240. So if you have Divine Intimacy, you might want to open it to 240. And it's talking about divine omnipotence. And I love this. Now, yesterday, it was talking about divine providence. Today, it's talking about divine omnipotence. And, you know, these obviously are characteristics of God. We could get into the divine providence from yesterday, but it was this that was striking me today, and that's what I want to share with you. This is what we read in Divine Intimacy, and it begins with a quotation from Genesis 17, verse 1. And this is God speaking, and he says, "I am the Almighty God." And then Father Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene writes, "With these words, God revealed himself to Abraham. He says, God is all-powerful because he can do all that he wills. And this he can do as he wills, when he wills, without any limitations." Now, you could just sit there and think about that for a moment. The limitless power of God. It's something we can't even comprehend. But nonetheless, it's true. So he goes on and he describes some things to us. And he quotes Psalm 134, verse 6, "Whatsoever the Lord pleaseth, he hath done in heaven, in earth, in the sea, and in all the depths." And then Father writes, "Nothing can impede his action nor oppose his will. Nothing is difficult to him." He says, "Our works, even the simplest, require time, fatigue, material adaption, and collaboration." And I thought about that in reference to myself. That's true, right? Even the simplest things that we do, it takes our time. It costs us something and an expenditure of energy, so we feel fatigue. It requires a material adaptation, right? In some way, we've got to move forward, you know, in a new direction, perhaps, or we've got to actually take material benefits that we have, like money, and invest it or spend it. And it takes collaboration, working with others, but also and most importantly, working with God. He says, "God's works, even the greatest, are performed in one instant by a simple act of his will. God is so omnipotent." And what does omnipotent mean? Let's just look at that. Well, you know, let's just look at the root word. The root word of the word omnipotent is potent. What does potent suggest? Well, potent suggests that it's life-giving, life-producing. It suggests that there's a certain power that's associated with it. And what does that prefix omni mean? Well, that prefix omni means it's all-encompassing. It means it's everything. It means that nothing is lacking. So we're talking here about the all-powerfulness of God, right? So when we talk about omnipotence, that's what we're talking about. Oh, I just love it. I just love it. Oh, it just excites me so. It says, "God's word, on the contrary, is omnipotent, creative, operative, and effective, so that it infallibly," means without error, "infallibly produces whatever it expresses." He says, "God is so mighty that after creating man free, he rules and directs him according to his good pleasure without prejudicing man's liberty in any way." He says, "God is so omnipotent that he can change men, the children of sin, into his adopted sons called to share his divine life. He is so omnipotent that he can draw good even from evil." And now we get to the crux of the issue of what it was that I was speaking about a little bit on, that this God is so powerful that he can take even that which we consider to be evil, terrible, off-putting, upsetting, reversal, and he can work it to the good. So no matter what greets us, there is a prize in there. And what is it? What is the prize? God's omnipotent power. Coming right back, 833-288-EWTN.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnnet Williams. Very, very happy to be with you today. Looking forward to hearing from you here. We've got a toll-free number for you right here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Simply use that number to connect with us today, and we will certainly, certainly take your call. I want you to know that Matthew Gubensky will be answering those phones, and he's going to get you up on the board. He does want want to know, as do I, if you're a first-time caller. Because if you are, I will ring my bell to welcome you to our broadcast for your premiere, for your debut. We like to do that. It's my personal little way of greeting you when you're a first-timer. And if you're a first-time submitter out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page, and you let us know that there, well, then I will also ring my bell for you. I will have Michael McCall collecting your questions or comments out there and getting them up on the board, and we will address them. I do want to hear from you today. Now, you know, I'm talking about all of these things. I haven't given you any announcements or anything yet, and I'm going to be doing that in just a minute, but I'm all excited about what I'm sharing. So I'm on a bit of a roll here, and I'm going to just keep going with it, you know? So we were talking about God's omnipotence, right? And we were talking about he is so powerful, and that's what omnipotence means. He's all powerful. There's nothing more powerful than God. And it says this, that, you know, he goes on and he talks about, and this is Father Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene. He says that God has brought all things out of nothing. All things out of nothing. Right before that, he says, God is so omnipotent that with a single word, he has brought all things out of nothing. So when God speaks, there's power in what he speaks. His word is creative. His word is effective. His word is operative. It is omnipotent. God's word is filled with his very power, which is limitless. Goes on and says, God is so mighty that after creating man free, he rules and directs him according to his good pleasure without prejudicing man's liberty in any way. Now, there's something to ponder. God is so omnipotent that he can change men, the children of sin, into his adopted sons called to share his divine life. And we ended with his sentence when we went to the break. He is so omnipotent that he can draw good even from evil. He says the omnipotence of God is always active and working without ever stopping. And this magnificent, infinite, eternal omnipotence is completely at the service of his infinite goodness, or better, is infinite goodness itself, which can do all the good it wishes. And then Father Gabriel, I think, you know, listening to what it is that he's writing, possibly being filled with the Holy Spirit as these words are trickling out onto the page from his pen, he says how much we need the help of this omnipotence. We who are so weak that even seeing and willing the good, we are very often incapable of doing it. Now, I want to stop there. I want to stop there for a moment, and I want to just like summarize what it is that we've chatted about here, because this is fascinating. So what we're learning is about God's all-powerfulness, and that God's all-powerfulness is limitless, that God never is thinking about doing something, but he's always acting. And every act of God is an act that is filled with goodness, because God, who is all good, can only affect good things. So no matter what happens in our life is there by the permissive will of God. God permits it for a purpose. And what is that purpose? To work good out of it. And God speaks a word. He speaks a word into that misery, into that situation, that has the capacity to change that whole situation and to change us in the midst of it. And now that takes me to something that was brought to my attention when I was watching a video series that I recorded some years ago, I think it was in 2016, with Colin Donovan. And he was talking about, we were talking about mystics, and we were talking about locutions and prophecy, words of prophecy, and, you know, visions, and all of these kinds of things, these supernatural kinds of situations and circumstances that happen in the life of great saints, and in our lives too, in simple ways that we sometimes don't even recognize and understand and see. And in the midst of this, Colin talked about a substantial word, a substantial word. And as I was praying through this meditation this morning, you know, I was thinking about that particular video, and I was thinking about the fact that I had been thinking about that video through the course of this whole week, and that, you know, that there was a tying together, that, you know, maybe the Lord was, you know, really teaching me a little lesson. He was weaving something. And Colin Donovan described what a substantial word is. And he said, a substantial word. Now, all of God's words are substantial, and that all of them are filled with the substance of who he is, right? Substantial comes from substance, right? What does that mean? It means it's filled with him, right? So God's words are always creative, effective, and operative, right? They're always ordered to the good. But he says that, you know, in sacred scripture, we'll see God will speak a substantial word, and that substantial word has the capacity to metaphysically change us in the moment. To metaphysically change us in the moment. What does that mean? It means that it reaches down into the very reality of who we are, created in his image and likeness, and brings something forth in us that is of God, that is God-like, that is God-reflective. And in this video series, he gave an example, and he talks about the woman caught in adultery. Right? And he says, we don't know. We don't know really if Jesus spoke those words aloud or if those words were intuited to the heart of the woman, but the word that was given was the word, go and sin no more. And upon speaking those words, that woman was metaphysically changed. That woman changed. That woman became a new creation. In that moment, it was a word that carried with it the very power of God that took her from where she was to where she needed to go, a word that was transforming in its effect in her life. Now, you know, oftentimes that woman is thought to be Mary Magdalene. We know that Mary Magdalene was a great sinner. We know she had to be delivered from all of these demons. We also know that from that moment on, should this be Mary Magdalene, her entire life changed. She followed Jesus all the days of her life from that moment forward and really followed him in the wake of our Blessed Lady. She accompanied our Blessed Mother everywhere, right? Even up the climb of Calvary and standing at the foot of the cross with Mary and the beloved disciple at the moment of Jesus' crucifixion. She was changed, just changed, instantly changed. And I was thinking about that in reference to myself. And I was thinking about Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says something really great. It says this, indeed, the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart. Let me read that again. Isn't this basically exactly what we're talking about today? Isn't this scripture passage confirmation of what Father Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene has written in this meditation 240, today's reading? Isn't it what Colin was expressing in that series of program about a substantial word? Indeed, the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart. Verse 13 says, no creature is concealed from him, but everything is naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must render an account. Indeed, the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart. When a substantial word is given, not only is that change a metaphysical reality that happens to that person, not only does it have a transforming effect, but the person becomes aware of who the person is. The person sees himself through the eyes of God. Everything is separated. The dross is separated from the gold, right? And the person sees clearly. And what they see is penetrating. What they see is the vision of God. And they see everything from a new vista of perspective. And literally, what opens up to them is a whole new world. A new way of apprehending, even a new way of comprehending. There's a certain light that that comes to the intellect, even as the soul is being lit by the divine revelation of God. We see that in that instant with the woman caught in the sin of adultery. But here's my guess. My guess is that you have had a moment where a substantial word was given to you, where the Lord spoke, or it might have been something you intuited in your heart. Maybe it came through the mouth of another, but suddenly everything was different. It was different. You might have had a greater insight into a situation or circumstance that you were dealing with. You might have been taken to a new level of inner healing because the Lord revealed something that was hidden from you. It might be a moment where it is a deep, utter conversion of heart, where you were one way one second and one way in the next. I'm thinking you've had a moment like that. Maybe we didn't recognize what was going on there. Maybe we didn't see that it was really the living out of Hebrews 4, verse 12 and 13 in our own lives. Maybe we didn't recognize and realize that, you know, we were somehow experiencing the divine fiat of God, the yes of God, the creative power, effective power, omnipotent power of God in our own being. But in fact, that's what was going on. And you know what? I'll tell you what. I would be so curious to know. I would be so interested to know if you've experienced something like that. If something like that's happened to you. If it was a moment of deep revelation, a moment of deep reckoning of the power and majesty of God and who you were in relation to that. But how much God loves you, that he spoke fiat into your existence in that moment. Why not give us a call and share? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Inviting you to pick up the phone, give us a call. Toll free for you here in North America. If you're a first timer, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to ring my bell to welcome you for your debut on the program. I'll do the same thing if you're a first time submitter out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Inviting you to use that chat feature there to leave us your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. Matthew Gubensky on the phones. I think it's Michael McCall out there who is with us taking those messages off of EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page and getting them up on the board. So I'm inviting you to join us here. Yes, I am. 833-288-3986. I can honestly tell you, I've had many moments like that in my own life. I had that ultimate moment of deep reconversion to the faith that took place in 1981. That was a tremendous moment. That was one of those life-transforming instances where I walked into that church one way and left that church a different way. It was just an amazing moment. But I've had other moments, too, that have been far more subtle. I've had moments that have come in my time of prayer where, you know, the Lord will make me aware of something that's going on deep interior to my heart and my soul and my mind that I didn't realize was going on there. But he brings it into the light. He takes it out of the darkness, right? A substantial word. And when he does that, then we have a certain responsibility. And that certain responsibility is to give a response, right? Are we going to give fiat back to God? Now, he's given fiat and bringing life out of misery. But what will we say about that? I've had moments, too, where I've looked at some of the ways in which I've been scathed by the sins of others against us and the way in which I've scathed myself by my own personal sin. And God has revealed to me a new way of looking at that, helping me to understand the behaviors of others from his perspective, helping me to see, deep truths in connection to that, which helped me move forward in that healing process. Maybe you've experienced that. Why not share it today? You know, we need this good news. I'll tell you, we live in a world today that is absolutely, what do I want to say? A world that no longer recognizes the power and the majesty of God. That really puts everything into the lap that is our own and says it's up to us. It's up to us to do it, up to us to do it, up to us to do it. Well, I want to tell you, if you want to find a way to fail, leave it all up to yourself. You'll get so far, but I'll tell you, you're going to run out of steam. And the fact of the matter is, the good that you're hoping to produce will never be as good as the good that would have been produced if you would have just given the whole thing to God in the first place. He will work a good out of it that you can't even begin to realize or understand. I would love to know if you've experienced that at some point in time. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us today. Now, Doug is with us from Blooming Prairie, and he is calling back because he called yesterday and we couldn't get to him. So I'm glad that he's called back. We're going to take him right now. Hey, Doug, how are you?
Johnette, sister, hi.
Hey.
Yeah, so, yesterday I was going to share how I've learned from your acronyms. And I remember TWIF, through her, with her, in her, for her.
Yes.
Got several. And then I've also come up with a couple on my own, inspired by you. You were talking about, different graces. You said your grandma's rosaries were the remote grace. Your, immediate resolution to follow God's leading was the second kind, that immediate grace. And then the third one was proximate grace.
Mm-hmm.
And you called that the evangelical Catholic movement that you joined.
That's right.
So
it was Grandma's Rosary. That was the remote. The proximate was attending a charismatic prayer meeting. And then the immediate was that response to the moment of conversion.
You want to wait till after the commercial or keep going?
Well, I think we'll wait till after the break, if that's okay with you. You hear that music, Doug, so we're going to get there pretty quickly. Friends, we want to hear from you, too. We've got Doug from Blooming Prairie. You can join him today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. He's going to give us an acronym when we come back. What do you have to share today? We're talking about substantial words and all kinds of really good things. Do give us a call. Coming right back. Stay tuned.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams, very happy to be with you today. I certainly am. Looking forward to hearing from you. Doug from Blooming Prairie took the plunge. Yes, he did. He's with us live here, and we're going to get back to him in just a moment. But first, I want to give you those numbers. You can join us here. Toll-free number for you. 833-288-EWTN. Just punch in those numbers. It's toll-free for you in North America. That's 833-288-3986. As I say, don't be shy. Give it a try. Don't delay. Call right away. We do want to hear from you today. In addition, we're available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. I invite you to use the chat feature there. Yes, I do. Use that chat feature and put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We'll get it retrieved. Michael McCall doing all that work. He'll get it up on the board for me, and I'll be able to address it. Oh, my goodness. It makes me so glad when I hear from you. So let's get back to Doug. He's got an acronym for us today, and I think it has to do with the various ways in which God prepares us for what it is that He wants to do in our lives. Hey, Doug, how are you?
Yeah, so we talked about remote grace, your grandma's rosaries, immediate grace, your personal resolution to take that prompting from the Holy Spirit, and then proximate grace, meaning you associated it to your joining evangelical Catholic movement. So RIP, RIP. And then I got to find ways to remember this stuff. And this is my method. I use acronyms like you like to use. So RIP means ripcord. I pull in my ripcord, and then comes this parachute. And that parachute was another teaching from you. Pi, meaning that this whole movement toward transcendental meditation, and it's all about emptying your mind. Well, you tried to teach that, no, we need to be actively involved in the meditation, that our prayer involves, think of a parachute colored as a pie, an upside down pie. All right, that means that we have to use our our emotions is the E. Our psyche, and then our intellect. So P-I-E, psyche, intellect, and emotions all need to be part of our prayer. Not this emptying of the mind, so whatever wants to can fill the void. So that's my little memory tool. I pull the ripcord, remote grace, immediate grace, and proximate grace, and then this parachute that's colored like a upside down pie pops out, and I need to use my psyche, my intellect, and my emotions to get in contact with the Holy Spirit.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think that's great, Doug. I like what you're saying here, because what you've just outlined for us is what Christian meditation is, right? So we hear a lot of people saying, well, do you meditate? Well, you know, we always have to ask them, well, how do you define meditation? We have a lot of false types of meditation out there today. Meditation that really doesn't have anything to do with the Lord, but has more to do with our biochemistry. Transcendental meditation would be, an example of that. And I will say that even the P in your word pie, and I think that's a really great acronym, even the P in the word pie can involve something that the catechism talks with us about with regard to the physical reality of our being. The senses, our five senses, you know, our ability to smell, our ability to hear, our ability to see. God wants to involve the whole person in this coming to Him in what we call Christian meditation, Christian prayer. So it involves the senses, it involves the emotions, it involves the intellect. So we don't want to try to shut any of that down. That's the misnomer that we have today when we talk about forms of meditation that are not, that would fall outside of what Christian meditation is. You know, we begin to identify all meditation the same way, and that definition that we're using is one that is inaccurate. It's this idea of shutting down the mind. St. Teresa of Avila knew nothing of that, and her name is often brought into discussions that is trying to promote this kind of shutting down of the mind. Her name and St. John of the Cross's name. But St. Teresa of Avila knew nothing of that. As a matter of fact, she talked about that. She said to her sisters not to try to do that. She said, unless you become daft, she said, you drive yourself to crazy, that we cannot shut down the mind. God gives us the capacity to perceive Him through the way in which He's created us as incarnate beings, through our physicality, through our intellect, and through our emotions. And all of that together, especially the intellect and the emotions, so those two play a big part in what we call the psyche or the soul. That's what psyche means. It means soul. This animating reality of our body, the most interior part of our being. So very good, very good. Thank you very much. You always flatter me when you talk with me about these acronyms, because you give me more credit than I deserve, Doug. But I think that. It's a very useful educational tool. And I'll tell you, a priest that was really famous for his acronyms, and I probably began to develop them myself for religious purposes, for spiritual purposes, as a result of him, and that was Father John Hampsch. Many of you out there that were involved in the Charismatic Renewal years ago will remember Father John Hamp. She had a tremendous healing ministry, and he was very, very good with these acronyms to help us to know the faith and to understand how it is that God operates through the various charisms, you know, that are ours. So he was really terrific. But it's interesting to know, too, that the history of acronyms, come from St. Thomas Aquinas. He was the first one to come up with these mnemonics, and mnemonics are just various forms of helping our memory. And so acronyms, the person that gets the credit for that is St. Thomas Aquinas. Imagine such a thing. Just a beautiful, beautiful thing. So thank you, Doug, for your call today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, and then you're talking about, you know, the two-edged sword and between bone and marrow. That's how a main thing about when the Holy Spirit is undoubtedly touching you. One of the issues is, how do I retain this? How do I keep this fresh? How, you know, preserve it? And yeah, acronyms help me a lot. And that's just one of those tricks that keep us sharp, I guess.
And that's a good thing. If there's one thing we want to be sharp about, it's about our faith. So thanks for your call today, Doug.
Yeah, you mentioning, and that was 2 Corinthians 4, right around 10. If you switch the numbers around, 2 Corinthians 10:4 is also very powerful about how we destroy the arguments of, you know, the liar with our, you know, reasoning, with our Holy Spirit enlightenment. Mm-hmm. So yeah, 4:10 and 10:4. I remember that way too.
Well, that's good. I was quoting from Hebrews 4:12 and 13. That's where the you know, separation of the bone from the marrow passages. But I'll look those other ones up too. Listen, we can never exhaust sacred scripture, because as we were talking about earlier today, you know, sacred scripture is the word of God. And what we know about God's word is that it's omnipotent, right? It's inexhaustible. It's limitless, as well as being all powerful. So we can never exhaust it. And really do want to encourage all of you to get into sacred scripture. You know, if you don't read it on a regular basis, do. Commit to memory certain passages. By committing them to memory, we have them at the ready, just like Doug has his acronyms at the ready, and I have my acronyms at the ready too. You know, we want to have sacred scripture at the ready. And so many of the verses are easy to remember, you know, very easy. This is one of my favorites. Fear is useless. What is needed is trust. In those moments when fear wants to grip my heart, I just start repeating that passage. Fear is useless. What is needed is trust. Fear is useless. What is needed is trust. The evil one cannot stand up underneath the word of God. And so when we have it at the ready, we can use it. It's a powerful weapon. It's the very weapon that Jesus used when he was being tempted in the desert. So heavens to Betsy, if it's good enough for Jesus, it's got to be good enough for us, right? So we learn what these tools are as we go through sacred scripture, and we see how Jesus behaved. We see how the apostles behaved. We see how it is that the Blessed Mother, pondered all these things in her heart. Great teaching there. So break open sacred scripture. Get into sacred scripture. But most importantly, let sacred scripture get into you. That's the most important thing, to be shaped and to be formed by the word of God. And in order to be shaped and formed by the word of God, you need to know what the word of God says. And the Lord, you know, he takes and he builds on that. And that's one of the ways, and of course, in these programs that I was watching with Colin, it's one of the ways in which we can discern if something we are receiving is coming from God or not. Does it comport with sacred scripture? Does it comport with the teachings of the church? If it comports with sacred scripture and it comports with the teaching of the church, then we can have a certain assurance that what we're hearing is true, is accurate, is from the Holy Spirit. But if there's a variance on any level, even in a smidgen of a level, we throw it out. It can be 99% good, but if it's 1% false, even half of a percent false, it's no good at all. Throw it out. Because what is that? It's a hook. It's the evil one giving you a taste of the good, but it's laced with poison. And eventually, what's going to happen? that poison's going to win out, right? So we discern if what we're hearing is the word of God by looking at scripture and by looking at the teachings of the church. Very important stuff. Well, Doug, thanks so much for calling. Always love to hear from you. Let's go to Melissa. She is in Idaho today, and I think she is listening to us via the EWTN app. Good morning, Melissa. How are you?
Good morning, Jeanette.
Hi.
This is Walking Melissa, and I'm on my walk this morning.
Melissa, I haven't heard from you in a while. How are you doing, girlfriend?
I'm doing so good. Yes, keeping busy, definitely, and been very, very blessed. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome.
So I was listening a little bit behind on your talk, and I heard you say that if you have a word that you really felt like the Holy Spirit was speaking to you, and just, you know, that sharper two-edged sword, like you said, the word. I had that experience. I hadn't gone to adoration in a little while, and I really wanted to go. And so I was at adoration. And during this time, I was practicing the prayer of the quiet that you talk about, just being completely quiet and listening to the voice of God.
Yes.
Keep coming back and striving. So I went to adoration, and I was kneeling down, and I think it was like the end of the hour, and I was starting to leave, and I heard, "I'll stop the world and melt with you." I know it's a song, it's like an 80s song or whatever. I was like, "I'll stop the world and melt with you." And it just spoke volumes to me, because just like you were saying about the dross, you know, the dross being pulled away from the gold. And yes. I mean, being melt with God is like being purified, being in union with Him, melting into Him. And then every time I just like kneel down now for my 10 minutes, I should increase it a lot more to probably 15. But just kneeling down and on my knees, I just say, "I'll stop the world and melt with you." And I feel like God's saying that too in our Blessed Mother, you know, that they'll stop and give that time to me. He's always present to us as we're present to Him. And I just wanted to share that.
You know, that is so beautiful. You know, what a beautiful word that is. And what a great insight you're sharing with us today. And, you know, this is the way of, this is how we grow in holiness, Melissa. I mean, in this little phraseology that you've given to us that might have come from a song, I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, there's a great truth in that. The more that we are filled with God, the holier we become. It's not our holiness, it's His holiness. You know, we are not holy on our own. It's a participation. But the more we allow that to take place within us, the more that we stop the world, meaning we stop the distraction, we step aside from our cares and our concerns, and we strive to bring everything into that moment of prayer, to that extent, do we make ourselves available to the Lord. And that's all He's looking for, is that availability. And then He just comes and He fills us. And who is He? He's love. I was thinking about this morning, too, in my time of prayer. I was praying outside today, and there was a bird in the tree, you know. I was praying, and the bird was chirping away, and I was able to identify the bird on the branch. I couldn't tell you what kind of a bird it was. I could just see it. That's what I mean by identify it. And I was looking at that bird, and I thought to myself, you know, it's an amazing thing, isn't it? You know, God's love transforms everything. And if we could just be as open to being who it is that God's called us to be, like that bird is open to just its birddom, you know, what an amazing thing. We would be filled with the love of God. And that love of God would be communicated out into the created order, out into the relationships that occupy our life, out into everything. It would be God active in us and active through us. So I love that. The other thing I want to comment on, too, is that I think that you have properly identified where some people get into trouble with meditation. And you said, you know, what you want to do in this time of prayer is just to, stop the world and melt with God and let God melt with you. And to be attentive to Him. And that's the difference.
Yeah.
you know, Christian meditation, we do want to rid ourselves of distractions to the extent that we can. They're always going to sneak up on us, but we don't pay any attention to them. You know, we just go back to where we were. You know, we just let them kind of drift by us. But we want to be attentive. We want to be listening. We want to have a listening heart. You know, listening and looking for the Lord in that time of prayer. You know, and taking the powers of our capacity and orienting them in that way. So yes, we want to be quiet. We want to still the noise around us, but it's not to be in a void. It's to be completely open and filled and to apprehend that presence, His divine and holy presence that's with us. And that's beautiful. And you understand that. And that makes me so glad. That's beautiful.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Janet. Yeah, exactly. And just what was on my heart, too, ways back, I shared with you a book, Elsner was Sheltering Within Her Heart.
I have that
Sheltering
book,
with
yes.
Her Heart. Yes,
it's
did you
beautiful.
Get to read it?
Well, yeah, I've dipped into it. I can't say that I've read it from cover to cover. I've dipped into it, and I've said this is a must.
Yeah. Yes, it is, because I just took your Moments with Mary, and absolutely so much, and I learned so much from Father Gillespie. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for introducing me to Father Gillespie. He has taught me so much about the consecration to Mary, to Jesus or Mary. Thank you so much. I mean, I knew the two with, in, and for the twist, but yes. I never knew it until I learned from him each one. He goes into depth in each one of those. And it, oh my gosh, it has brought in so much life to my to my heart of learning from Father Gillespie and your videos. And everyone take Moments with Mary. It's beautiful, beautiful new series. So.
Oh, thank you, Melissa.
Online series. Yeah.
You know, it's beautiful. And we do offer it online and we do offer it in person. And I know that in the fall, we're going to have several of them starting up online. So if you haven't taken a Women of Grace study, friends, this is a way for you to do it. And the Moments with Mary is a new series. And the first one is Who is Mary? And our teacher through that the course of that series is Father Hugh Gillespie. And it's a series of interviews that I did with him. And he unpacks all of this for us. Then there's questions for, there's a quote by a saint and questions for reflection on that. And then every day, there's a video lesson for you to watch that I do. You know, they're just little, actually they're reflections. They're not lessons. It's me reflecting what that particular, you know, passage or saint statement meant to me. And it's all, you know, the there's a booklet, you get the booklet, but the videos and the video, the Father Gillespie's videos and my video reflections are available online, and we give you a QR code so that you can access them. And that's the second one that I'm working on. That's what I'm working on right now. So I'm making a big, big announcement here, which I didn't intend to make, Melissa, but the second one is going to be on the mystic saints, and we're using these programs with Colin Donovan we recorded, where he talks about what mysticism is, you know, what visions are, how all and how we appropriate all of that, and so it's really, really beautiful. It is beautiful, and it's coming along. It'll be followed the very same format. I've got all of the video reflections done already, so I am working on the questions from those videos right now. So we're hoping to have that out sometime this fall, so you can look for that one to come out. But, you know, as you know, because you took the foundational study, you cannot, these studies cannot be exhausted either, because it's the Word of God and the teachings of the Church. So you can do them again and again, and you're going to find something new. We're never in the same place in our spiritual life, right? And, you know, we're also never in the same place in our natural lives. So there's always something fresh.
Yes, we see with different spiritual lenses.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yes.
And I want you to know, everybody, that Melissa has been working with Women of Grace, and she was one of our, I think, room facilitators out there for one of our online opportunities there for the foundational study. Am I right, Melissa?
Yes, yes. And then online study co-facility has been such an incredible blessing, and everyone, such a blessing. Thank you so much for allowing me to do that and participating. It's a great blessing, and I'm still enjoying it. Thank you so much. It's a blessing. Thank you. And
so
I look forward to the new one. Wow, that's awesome.
Well,
I definitely
please pray
will take
for
that.
Me. Please pray for me that God expands time. That's what I need, expanded time. I love doing them. So thanks, Melissa, and I'll look forward to hearing from you again in the future. And friends, I do want to let you know, if you're interested in the Moments with Mary study, you can order your book and get started right away. They're available for you at EWTN's religious catalog, EWTNRC.com. Just get out there and get a copy. If you've not participated in the foundational study, please let me invite you to do so. God bless you now. Be back with you again tomorrow. Look for that substantial word today. Bye.